I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of What It Takes, the podcast where we dive deep into the real stories behind entrepreneurship. Today, we're talking about something that doesn't always get enough attention, and it's the mindset that it takes to build and scale a business while also growing as a person. Our guest is Levi King, a self-taught serial entrepreneur who's built multiple companies, including Lendio and Nav, and has raised over $200 million in venture capital. But Levi's journey started far from this world. He grew up on a farm in rural Ohio, Idaho, where his work ethic and resilience were shaped from a very young age. So in this conversation, we'll unpack the mental habits, the sacrifices, the mindset shifts that help him succeed, and we'll talk about the biggest lessons he's learned, the struggles that he's faced, and what advice he has for other entrepreneurs looking to level up, not just in business, but in life. So let's get to it. Welcome, Levi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Levi, let's just jump into it. You've built multiple businesses. What was that first moment when you realized you had an entrepreneurial mindset?
It was at a young age. It took me a long time to figure out what exactly happened. I actually unpacked it in therapy in my 40s to come up with the answer. But
as we all do, as we all do.
I knew I wanted to start my own company, and I was going to put myself through college working at an electric sign company. And the owner of the business saw I was smarter than his average person he employed and worked harder. And he said, "What are you going to do when you're done with your college degree in business?" And I said, "I don't know. I just want to start my own business." And he said, "Well, if you stick around here for a year, I'll teach you how this works as long as you leave the state to start your own company." And so that's what I did. So I didn't finish college till I was in my 30s, mainly just to check the box, because like I finished things and it kind of, I left that undone. But it was long after I needed to finish, like I'd been successful enough, it didn't matter anymore. But I moved and started an electric sign company. I'll use air quotes because I had a pickup truck, bag of tools, and a 24-foot extension ladder. Drove around at night, looked for signs that were burned out that I could reach with the ladder. Cold called, scared me to death. I'm an introvert, so that was not natural. And profited $8,000 my first month and bootstrapped my way over a couple of years all the way into manufacturing. Then years later, I would unpack like why, because people would always ask me when I tell that story, like, how did you know like you wanted to start a business? And it was because I was raised in such a, like, you fit in a tiny box, like this is what your life is meant to be. This is who you are. Very traditional family, very traditional school, very traditional religion. And I thought outside the box, and I got in a lot of trouble for thinking outside the box. And the messaging I got consistently growing up was, you're going to be a loser. Like that was just consistent. And so later unpacked in my 40s, the answer was I didn't trust other adults with my future. I didn't believe what they believed about me. And so the only thing you can do is go out on your own. And so I finally got closure to that question after 20 years or so of asking myself.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think a lot of us, it takes us to adulthood like that to actually say, okay, let me just kind of get some help and do some work here. And that's awesome that you did that. But growing up in rural Idaho, did you always see yourself as a business owner? I mean, you said you did, but you were already kind of in college as an adult. But was there a turning point that happened, or did you know early on?
Probably, but I don't think I had the words. Like my dad was a farmer. He was self-employed. I didn't even think of him as a business person, but he was a sole proprietor. And so I think the seeds were planted along the way, but I didn't have the words in high school to form like, I'm going to own a small business, or eventually I'm going to own a tech company or start a tech company. So I think it was there all along the way, but I didn't formulate it verbally that way. It was just like these thoughts jumping around up in my head, and what am I going to do with my future, and where do I want to go in life? And that was the path.
Yeah. And mindset is everything in business, right? Like, and you obviously started having those types of perspectives early on. What mental habits or disciplines have helped you the most?
It's changed over time. Like early on in my career, I had a chip on my shoulder. I wanted to prove everybody wrong. By the time I was in my 20s, I'd already proved everybody wrong. And I realized that was an important mindset to get me to where I was, but that wasn't the right type of mindset moving forward. I mean, I still carry it a little bit, but it was more like, okay, what if I move beyond that, what motivates me? What's my intrinsic motivation to get up and do hard things? And it's competitive spirit. It's to have an impact. Like I'm very competitive, and I've made mistakes on what I chose to do in the sense that I didn't love it every time. And I learned that lesson in my 20s. I bought a hotel. It was a very difficult business, very profitable, but just a miserable business. And that and another small business that was also successful, I realized, okay, I'm not willing to do anything for money. Like I got to be passionate about this. And that's when I got into tech, first starting Lendio and then NAV, where like at NAV, we have a tremendous impact on small business, a positive impact with now over a million small businesses in the U.S. use our software to manage their credit and financial health. So it kind of changed over time. But for me, it's I wanted on my deathbed, like I don't necessarily believe in the afterlife. I want to know if my life mattered. And, you know, it mattered at a scale that to me was meaningful. And so, but that could come anywhere. Like if you have a sandwich shop and you got the best sandwiches on the planet, like it's the same thing. What I do isn't better than what anyone else chooses to do. It's how do you want to show up in this world? How do you want to have a positive impact? And does it give you joy? Does it make you happy?
I love that. And I think that you're on this side of it now where you obviously learned at some point, hey, I'm not just going to do anything for money. I kind of want to love what I do. And so you probably faced a few things along the way to get you to that decision. And I think every founder faces challenges. What was the toughest personal sacrifices you made along the way?
For sure, my mental health. I started my first business when I was in my early 20s. I was married, met my wife very young. We got married young. We're still married, happily married 25 years plus later. And we had our first baby when my wife was 23, I was 23. And we have six daughters and they're 9 years apart total. We had four daughters that were all spaced and planned perfectly. And we're like, that's it. And then we got a surprise, our only surprise pregnancy, and we got twins. And so I wanted to be a present father and I wanted to have a marriage that was going to last forever. And so I was through the roughest times. I mean, I travel a lot for work. When I'm home, I'm home. I'm home every day by 6:30, almost never work on the weekends, the exception being when they're asleep. And so for years, I sacrificed my mental health and my mind was a steel trap. Like nothing scared me. Like my mind is so focused in the biggest crisis. Like that's when like it all just comes together for me. So I actually thrive in the worst of times. And like I get giddy, like, okay, this is going to be a gnarly one. Like we got to figure out how to get through this. And that caught up with me in my early 40s when I started having panic attacks. So it was both like a sacrifice I made and then something that came back to bite me. And then that's a whole nother story on digging out of that hole and figuring out how to manage my mental health. But I had to stop giving everything to either my company, my family, my marriage, my friends. Like I had to start to give to myself and take time to recover from all the work and the stress.
Yeah, that's huge. And your definition of success, it sounds like, changed along the way. And it's not a surprise because you had many different ventures, but your first business probably looked a lot different than where you are today. Can you talk a little bit about what that success looks like then versus now?
Yeah, the one thing I knew early on before I ever left home was I did not want to be poor. Like that was my one goal, is poverty is not for me. And that's actually a fear that drove me for a long time. Post panic attacks, when I started seeing a therapist and a psychologist helping me sort through like, where's this coming from? And I spent a ton of time with my psychologist before she actually got to like help, you know, like her advice. She was very thorough. And she said, you know, I don't think I've ever heard you say these words, but it seems like you have an extreme fear of poverty. And I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, this is like six, seven years ago. This was like not, you know, 30 years ago or 25. And she said, based on what I know about you and your financial situation, it doesn't, in your history of financial success, it doesn't seem like you should have a fear of poverty anymore. So what's your definition of poverty? And I stuttered in trying to like articulate, well, what is poverty? She's like, all right, so I need you to define poverty for you and come back to the next session. And as I sat down post session to define poverty, like this fear just, it went away like instantly. Like, so I had a fear because I didn't have a definition. There's no rational reason for me to fear poverty anymore. And so that was the initial thing was, through all my first business, like, I don't want to be poor. I need to make money. I want to provide for my family. I want life to be comfortable. I want the kids to have security. And then that, like I said earlier, like it started to grow into like, well, I want to have an impact. Like what's a legacy? And I don't mean legacy like cover of magazine. Like I actually think it's in the venture backed world that I play in, a lot of venture backed CEOs, like there's this would be celebrity about it, but I think it's just the silliest shit. Like what we do is no more noble than, like I said, a sandwich shop, the person that cuts my hair. Like, why is what I do more noble? We have a path. What's noble is to try to pursue that path and be the greatest at what you do and deliver the most value at what you do. And so it just changed throughout my life from like scared to death of poverty to what's the impact? Like, am I making a meaningful impact in this world? And at NAV, we have customers all over the country, right? We're not condensed in a geo. We're pretty evenly distributed across geography and industry and time of business. So it's a very broad impact, but it's really having an impact on communities because small businesses, by and large, they serve in their community. If they're strong, they employ people that can afford to pay people better that live in the community as well. So I get to kind of marry this big impact across the U.S. economy in the subsegment of small business with, like, I was in Vegas for FinTech meetup last week and it was like midnight. I'm schmoozing with the people I got to schmooze with. I got my biz dev guys there. And this guy walked up to me. I had my NAV t-shirt on and he said, "Do you work at NAV?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Are you the owner?" And, which is just interesting for a stranger to ask, right? But when he said, "Are you the owner?" I knew he wasn't there for the tech conference I was at. And I said, "Yeah, I'm the founder of the company. I only own 15% because a venture capitalist own a lot of the company and my employees own a lot of the company." And he just went off about the love of our product. He actually had feedback. He did a selfie that I shared with the company of him giving us some product feedback. But that was like the connection between like a million people. Like, here's one of them that was on vacation in Vegas, approached me and had really nice things to say about our company and the impact we've had on him. So it's cool to be able to marry both ends of the spectrum. Like, it's this big impact, but on a micro level, like, this is a human being who's showing up every day in the grind with employees trying to turn a profit or a bigger profit that has trying to delight their customers. And it's just a kind of a beautiful life to live at this point.
That is really cool. And hearing how your drivers have changed over the years, that's also really cool. But you've raised $200 million. You talked about your venture capitalist. You've raised $200 million in venture capital. And you also talked about being an introvert. So how did you mentally prepare for the pressure of pitching and fundraising? And then beyond that, once you get it, the pressure of managing that. Like, those are two different things, but equally, I'm assuming, you know, two different mindsets, but equaling pressure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a different type of pressure than starting a small business where you don't have people you have to answer to that are on your board or that invest in your company. Sometimes you might, but not most small businesses. And luckily, my small business years helped prepare me from a resilience and an accountability perspective. Like, I hold myself more accountable than any other human could. I've always just been wired that way. What's interesting and what I didn't predict is I thought the most stressful time would be when I started the company, where you have everything to lose. You haven't proved product market fit. You haven't figured out commercialization. You've got nothing for distribution, right? At NAV, we're a credit financial health platform for small businesses. So you sign, it's the only place. We're the only company you can get all of your business credit with the three bureaus, your personal credit, your cash flow data. We give you advice around all that data for free. There's a software you can upgrade to for some bells and whistles. And we're the only place that does that. Multiple companies tried and failed along the way. And it was brutal. Like, this business couldn't exist without venture capital. Unlike my sign company, where I started with out of a $300 a month apartment, calling and leaving voicemails, King Electric Signs, want to fix your sign, you know, and it's like I'm a sole prop with nothing, right? And so the pressure in the early days was like, I'm giving up the best years of my life to pursue what I've been the most passionate about that I've ever done in my life that could have a positive impact. And I thought, well, once we make all this progress and it's de-risked and we're kind of out of the woods, then the stress will go away. Well, ironically, that's when I actually started to have panic attacks. We raised at NAV $100 million. Goldman Sachs led our C round, closed it in December of 18, and the panic attacks started then. And so what I didn't anticipate was flipping from like there, I have nothing, like my idea, like my reputation, I'm going to lose investors' money to, like, well, this is actually a thing. Like, now I actually have something meaningful to lose. So it didn't go away. It actually just got worse. And so, you know, I've done a lot of work on the mental health over the last 6 years, but it never, the stress doesn't go away. It's just the type of stress that you're digesting changes over time.
Yeah, that actually is so much, that resonates so much more with me. It makes a lot more sense because at least in the beginning, when you don't have all of that stuff yet, you haven't figured it all out, at least you have somewhere to go, something that you can kind of say, okay, yes, this, we don't have anything to turn out yet, but you have action steps. Now you've figured all that stuff out. How do you keep it? So that's a really good point. And you've still managed, it sounds like you had priorities of, you know, prioritizing not just your work life, but your personal life, balancing personal growth as well with business growth, I think is really tough. And I don't see a lot of business owners doing that. What routines or habits keep you grounded?
I think the first is just my mindset. Like, I don't think I'm better than anyone else. Like maybe criminals or something, but like at NAB, the hardest job at NAB is actually customer care. Like our software usually works. Sometimes it doesn't. It usually meets someone's expectations. Sometimes it doesn't. And so to me, that's like actually the hardest job in our business. I'm not better than anyone on our customer care team. I'm not better than any of my customers. Like you get like this elitist mindset, especially in Silicon Valley where I live, that like, oh, we're better, we're more noble, like we're changing the world, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, nah, this is just my path. That's just your path. And so I think staying grounded is like staying connected to the customer, staying connected to your team members, and treating everyone with respect. Like I, you know, mentioned I was an introvert earlier. Like it was really difficult for me to learn how to communicate with people, how to inspire people, how to sell. Like almost everything you do involves sales. You're like selling somebody on joining your company, then you're selling them on not leaving your company. You're selling your customers on your product. You're selling the company on your vision. You're selling investors on your story, but also the numbers. You're selling partnerships, right? It's all sales. That was not natural to me. Like when I was cold calling for my apartment, I would have sweat rings down to my waist. Like, and I was calling to say, I will charge $45 an hour instead of 90. Like, why was I scared to tell someone I could do the same work for half the price? And so for me, staying grounded is one answer, and that staying connected to the customer, to people, to the real community. Like I do business with all small businesses. Like I'm not excited about the national chains that don't need my help, and I'm just a number or whatever. And then as far as the mindset, I when I decided not to go to college to pursue my first company, I mistakenly thought I was going to learn to run a business with a business management degree. Like now I get that isn't what I was going to learn, but I was so paranoid, like, okay, I'm the underdog. I skipped college. So I went down this path of reading tons of nonfiction, and it was like really deep, nerdy stuff like Peter Drucker, like the driest management books ever. And so I've just kept that up over the years. And I had a lot of painful experiences along the way where I thought I was good at something. And then I would do a 360 survey with my team and find out I'm actually horrible at that. And then you have to be like honest with yourself and say, like, everyone in your company think you suck at something and they're wrong. Like you're wrong if you think you're good at it. And so it's just a continual journey. To this day, I'm always reading one or two nonfiction books. Now, like some pretty nerdy stuff that like I can't connect, draw like a straight line between what I'm learning and what it could do for me in my work. But just reading countless books on communication, leadership, management, sales process, like how to build and motivate a sales team, like all kinds of stuff that it wasn't intuitive to me. Now, fortunately, I'm not shy. And so that's what confuses people. Like, I'm an introvert, but I'm not shy. And it's more like I like Susan Cain in the book Quiet. I like her definition, which is like, I went to a fintech meetup last week. Do you spend energy or do you get energy? I spend energy. Like I go to bed early, head hits the pillow, I'm out. Whereas other people, they get energy. Like they don't want the night to end, right? They just keep going. And so for me, it was just a long journey of nonfiction of learning how do I be a better version of me tomorrow? And that's something I'm still obsessed with. Like, how can I show up better tomorrow than I did today?
That's really great advice. And I know that you were just kind of talking at your journey, but there was so much like takeaway from it as well. And I'll just, anything, I mean, maybe it's repeating something that you've already shared. Maybe it's something that you haven't talked about yet, but what do you think it really takes? This podcast is called What It Takes. And so we talk to a lot of business owners who's been through a lot of things. And that's what I love having these conversations about, is there's so much more behind the story. Like you said, you were in Vegas and you ran into that one person who had, you know, just a story to tell, and it puts a face to a name. And I'm hearing a lot of what you're joining. You and I have had very, very similar things. It's amazing. Like when you were kind of describing things, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly how I feel too. And I've experienced a lot of that. Even some life experiences are a lot lined up. But what do you think it really takes to be a successful entrepreneur in this day and age?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'll give a simple answer, but then elaborate a little bit. It's resilience and grit. Like, everyone starts with like, I want something, and it's, I want something different for my life. A lot of times it's money, but ultimately it's freedom. And so you have to figure out what's the intrinsic motivation that you have to go to hell and back all the time. Because I tell other founders in the tech space, the only guarantee you have if you build a $1 billion company is you'll go to hell and back 100 times. You don't know when the hell's coming. You don't know what version of hell it is, but it's coming over and over. And the good news is you won't invent a version of hell. Like every version of hell you go through, somebody else has gone through it, so someone can give you advice, but you're going through it. Same thing applies to a small business owner. I mean, the first 2 years after I started my sign company, I was scared to death all the time. I would dream every night I was working. I'd wake up in the morning and I couldn't tell if I'd slept, like if I was really awake thinking about work or if I'd slept thinking about work. It took me lots of years. It took several successes in small business for me to finally believe, like, I'm actually good at this. It wasn't luck. It was hard work. There's always luck involved. I've been very lucky in lots of ways, but it's that resilience. And so I don't think money is a big enough motivator for most people to go through the hell you have to go through to build a successful small business or tech company. There's easier ways to make money. It's easier to work for someone else, and you can find ways to make a lot of money working for someone else. And so I think that the money, like even for small business owners, we call it a lifestyle business. Like that's the intrinsic motivation. And in Silicon Valley, like, it's like, look down on like, oh, it's just a lifestyle business. I'm like, really? You're looking down on someone that like got the lifestyle they wanted in life? Like that's very noble, like hats off to that person. But I think money is just a placeholder for something else. And so if you don't know, like what am I willing to go to hell for over and over and over? And even when you've made it, like it's still coming. You just don't know it's coming, when and what it's going to look like. And so there just has to be more to it than for most people. Like there's probably exceptions where money's just enough for some people, but figure out what is that. Cause it's grit and resilience. To me, that's what you got to have. You got to be able to push through pain over and over and over, look at new challenges that you never anticipated, and be willing to say like, bring it on. I'm going to figure this out. And there has to be something inside of you that lives there for a reason. And I actually like to unpack this with other founders to see like, are you going to make it through all the misery? And so you can now get it stitching together my own misery with my therapist to understand like, where did it come from for me? You can find it in people. And a lot of people, you know, that were silver spooned and they never had real challenges, they're that person too. It just hasn't been tested and they don't know, like, do I have the grit or not? And so grit and resilience, I know I spoke forever about it, but that's what you need. That'll make up for lack of smarts, lack of connections, lack of money. Grit and resilience to just get after it and get through every damned version of hell that you have to go through.
That's so good. I know I always say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so when it comes, what kind of person are you going to be? And guess what? If you're a business owner, you're going to find out. You're absolutely going to find out in those times. And if you've got those traits, then you'll make it. It's because that's the only way. So this was such a great conversation with Levi. Thank you so much. I love hearing about kind of the real side of entrepreneurship. This was very, very much like I felt like I was there with you. I very much saw you're not just like, okay, all of a sudden we have $200 million in the bank. Like there's a journey to get there. And what you did, you know, making those cold calls absolutely led to being able to do what you're doing on a larger scale. You have to take those smaller steps in order to get to the bigger ones. So you shared some powerful insights on mindset, resilience, grit, personal sacrifices. All those come with building something meaningful. And I think at the end of the day, wherever it started, whether it was a financial goal or whatever, it really came back to building something meaningful and building a legacy there. So if you want to learn more about Levi and what he's up to, or even about Nav, Levi, where can they find you?
NAV.com. Easy to remember, one syllable, three digits. NAV is implicit for navigation. We help small business owners navigate the life of being a small business owner. I'm on LinkedIn, Levi King. Google me. I write a lot for Inc. and Entrepreneur. I put out a lot of my thoughts, primarily for a small business audience. So lots of ways to find me. Unfortunately, if you just Google Levi King, there's a prolific serial killer who dominates SEO. But if it's Levi King Nav, then the serial killer gets pushed down to page two.
Okay. Okay. So make sure you type in Nav if you're going to do that Google search with Levi King. That's very good. And we'll put some of those links in the show notes as well. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with another entrepreneur who could use some of that inspiration today. I know I've got it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of What It Takes.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.